Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. Thank you for joining us today by way of this wonderful radio station. You can call us, by the way. This is a listener participation program. Therefore, you are free to call. You can call us at 904-401-1413. That's 401-1413. We would love to have your input on the discussion today. We'd love to have your dialogue and discussion in reference to other subjects that you would like to ask a question on and or make a statement about. Keep in mind that as we call the broadcast Let's Face the Issues, it's because we face issues. And may I remind us, it's not because of we want controversy or difficulty, but most of the time, most Christians, especially in the realm of academics or in pulpit ministry, ministry today seems to have hidden in the closet with a fear of talking about issues and facing the issues with a biblical worldview. What does the Scripture say? Keep in mind, the Word of God is the book that we turn to. It's not a book that contains truth. It's not a book that talks about truth. The Bible, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, is truth. Jesus himself said, "If you continue in my words, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind us, regardless of the background, regardless of the denomination, regardless of the involvement we have in our daily walk, I pray that you're involved. I pray that you're salt and light. I pray that you're standing for truth and you're confronting error with in love with truth. And that's what this broadcast is about, confronting error, talking about truth, and facing the issues with the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And by the way, before we get started on the subject that I would like for us to pursue today, some of the issues that we'll deal with in the next several days. We'll deal with, is Christianity disappearing from America? Is Christianity disappearing from America? Then on another occasion, another broadcast, we'll deal with, is there a wall of separation of church and state? If so, where is it found in the Constitution? Or is there a wall of separation of church and state found in the Word of God? That's an interesting question, and I believe it will be an interesting dialogue for us to have in some future discussions on facing the issues. Another issue that we want to deal with in the next several days, will the Christian go through the tribulation? There are multitudes of ministries today that selling dried foods, packaged foods, storage food items. There are some that's doing so based on the fact that the Christian will go through the tribulation. You've got to have your food prepared, and you've got to have a cellar, and you've got to have a storage of food items, and so forth and so on. There's some of the ministries making hundreds of thousands of dollars off of scare tactics for the anemic, unlearned, immature Christian that's been told that you'll go through the tribulation that is before us. So is that true? Is that what the Bible says? What does the Scripture say about who will be in the tribulation? We dealt last week with several of our studies on dealing with the issues of the tribulation and some of the events after the rapture of the church, what will take place. And then another thing that we're going to discuss, and we'll touch on it today, the Jacksonville City Council and the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance. We'll talk about that a little more in discussion and invite your calls and your input on this dialogue today as we once again face the issues. I pray that you had a great weekend. I pray that your worship in your local church was a wonderful experience in serving the Lord and a deeper understanding of the Word of God. Let me invite us to you, our listener, to worship with us anytime at First Conservative Baptist Church. Our Bible study hour is at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. The 10:45 is the regular morning worship hour at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. Yes, we still have Sunday evening worship services. I realize that multitudes today have abandoned Sunday evening worship. We're still of the old school, believe that it is honoring to God and a blessing to the child of God to be in worship also on Sunday evening and studying the Word of God. So we invite you to come at 7 o'clock on Sunday evenings, 10:45 Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock at the Bible study hour. It's First Conservative Baptist Church is located 1 mile south of I-295 on Old St. Augustine Road. Then on Wednesdays, we have our 7 p.m. Bible study, question and answer time, prayer time, and fellowship meal. Wonderful get-acquainted time on an informal basis that I believe you would be blessed by, and therefore we encourage you and invite you to participate in one of our services during the course of the week, Sunday or Wednesday. And while we're speaking on the subject of facing the issues, may I remind you, you can call us at 401-1413, join in the dialogue or the discussion. We may disagree. That's all right. But we're not going to be disagreeable in our disagreement if that happens to be the case. But I noticed in some of the news articles that crossed my desk by way of my computer, another state, the state of Massachusetts, has just issued rules for churches. They're basing it on the Obama administration's edict of the open bathrooms, showers, locker rooms in all schools, colleges, and universities. And now this is the second state, Iowa, the state of Iowa, is a state that's already been aggressively involved in trying to force the pastors to discontinue and to cease and desist any conversation about the sodomites, homosexuals, transsexuals, perverts, and pedophiles. And they're saying that the churches still have the responsibility to have open bathrooms in their churches. Now the state of Massachusetts is saying the same thing. Massachusetts has decided that churches are also bound by the Obama agenda. Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination has developed guidelines for transgenders and churches. You hear what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, let me just interrupt my dialogue by saying that what we have seen taking place in the past year, year and a half in America is the most denigrative, dissipated declension from anything that's called morals and ethics and values in the United States of America in my lifetime. And I'm still less than 100 years old, ladies and gentlemen. And I want us to understand, I've never seen from the top down the rot and the wretched demoralization of a nation that's been perpetrated upon our society as I've seen by the Barack Hussein Obama administration. And now, as a result of that, Massachusetts is saying, through their Commission Against Discrimination, they're saying that churches, they're contending that churches, note, and I quote, churches are places of public accommodation. And therefore, just as in the state of Iowa, they're saying that they must comply with the Obama administration's edict about open bathrooms. You realize that if you're not, perhaps you've been living under a rock. Perhaps you've been living in silence for the past year and a half. Perhaps you've not come out of the house to, or you've not read or listened to the news. But let me inform you that the Barack Hussein Obama administration, through the U.S. Department of Education, issued an edict that every school, grade school through high school, through college, universities, and so forth across America, must accept his edict of open bathrooms. Never mind the fact that in the state of Texas, the appeals court and Supreme Court has ruled that they cannot force that on the schools. He's still doing it. And we have schools like Duval County that's still doing the thing of leaving the bathrooms open for the perverts, the pedophiles, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the point that I'm making at the introduction of this subject for today is we deal with this, the HROs and the open bathroom laws or bills or the edicts that's handed down. The House and the Senate, none of the congressional movers and shakers have introduced any legislation to authorize this. It's simply Obama's dictatorship approach that he's going to rule by his cell phone and his pen. And that's exactly what he promised the nation that he was going to do. In fact, go back to 2008 when he was running for office. He promised America that if we elected him, that he would fundamentally change America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he's doing that. He's done that. He's fundamentally changed our nation. He has destroyed the morals and the ethics and the values, and he's trying to destroy our children and our schools. Do you realize that if you send a child to school today, if you're in the, your child's in public school, public universities, their college, university, they may not have said anything to you about it, Mom or Dad. But the perverts, the pedophiles, the transsexuals, those that are emotionally distressed and disturbed in their mind as to their own sexuality, they have the right to go into any locker room, shower room, bathroom that they choose. They might be fully male. They might be dressed as a male, but they walk by the ladies' bathroom and they see the sign says ladies or women on the sign. And all of a sudden, they might have the emotion come over them that I feel feminine. I feel like I'm a woman. And they have the right and the authority under the Obama administration's edict that they can walk in without any incrimination whatsoever. May I remind us, it is a sad, sad state of affairs when we see this taking place. In fact, let me read you an excerpt from this idiocy that's taking place in Massachusetts. Under the law, places a public accommodation may not discriminate against or restrict a person from services because of that person's gender identity. For example, a hotel or a motel may not refuse to book a room for a person because of the person's gender identity. The state says so, and if they do so, the state then threatens to get involved. Further, it continues, even, listen, I'm quoting you from the article, another state issues transgender rules for churches, and we're dealing with the state of Massachusetts. The article continues, even a church could be seen as a place of public accommodation if it holds any event, such as spaghetti supper, that is open to the general public. The demands include having church officials and even members use whatever pronouns as a person would demand, irrespective of the actual gender. You realize that's taking place in many of our public schools across America today, where a teacher can no longer say boy or girl, but must refer to them in some neuter, gender, nebulous terminology. Simply say people rather than boys or girls or ladies and gentlemen. And now this idiocy in Massachusetts, I don't know who the governor is there, didn't look it up before the broadcast. Somebody needs to contact the governor there and say, have you lost your ever-loving mind? We as Christians, it's time that we stand up, speak up, and be heard. The article continues, says, a commentary pointed out that the churches hold events open to the general public at all time, all the time. If this is the case, and they seek it, they're seeking do so to seek new converts, then any church with any event that's open to the public, which I take means, according to this article, the events that do not involve overt worship. In other words, if it is an open event that you're not standing in the pulpit preaching and have an invitation for salvation, it's generally viewed as part of the church ministry, but it could also mean that you're involved in a discriminatory practice. And the state of Massachusetts says, now, we're going to do something about it. The article goes on with the warning. A church might be liable for even the statement by its congregations and its congregants, and not just its volunteers, who are acting as agents for the church ministry. They are critical of transgender people. If they're critical of transgender people, tolerating such remarks is generally seen as allowing a hostile environment and therefore harassment. Indeed, the statement specifically encourages people to prohibit discriminatory comments or jokes of any type. We're talking about churches now, ladies and gentlemen, about transgender people or employees, clients, vendors, and any other that might promptly be investigated by the discriminatory board for the state of Massachusetts. I could go on and on and on. It's a four-page article. with the brazenness of saying that the churches now fall under the Barack Hussein administration's edict that was thus handed down through the state U.S. Department of Education. Now the states wanting to broaden that and say we're going to also force the churches to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've listened to me on any broadcast that I've done, if you, anybody out there listening to me, you've ever heard me preach, you've ever heard me lecture, teach on the subject, I've warned us for the past 20, 25 years that the thing that is on the agenda for the sodomite group, they call it the LGBT, the LGBTI, or the LGBTQI, however they want to use the acronym for that. That group in general, they've been incrementally getting a little legislation or edicts passed or ordinances and rules and regulations across the nation for the past 25 or 30 years. They're drawing the net now, and their ultimate goal is to penetrate the walls of the church. The ultimate goal is to have the Word of God to be neutered, to be nullified, to be minimized, and Christians across the nation are guilty, guilty, guilty today in that we've not taken a stand before. We've got spineless pastors in the pulpits that are doing sodomite marriages. We've got spineless pastors in denominational leadership across denominational lines that have said that it's all right, you can be a sodomite and also love Jesus and come into the fellowship of the local New Testament church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. On the broadcast tomorrow, we're going to cover this a little more in depth, and we're going to exegete Romans chapter 1 and about verses 18 through verse 32 and deal with the issue and confront it square on as to what the Bible says from a biblical worldview and from a biblical scholarship approach of how we ought to view these folks in our communities and society in general. By the way, listen, it's 0.02% or less that make up the citizens in the United States of America that consider themselves to be transsexual, homosexual, what the Bible refers to as the sodomite group. May I remind us, there's a minuscule number, and yet we're allowing that minuscule number to demoralize and destroy our nation, our cities, and our government and our schools. The George Barna report of September the 1st, 2016, by the way, he does an excellent job on religious reporting and on what's happening in the religious world. He says, we're seeing a major moral decline in American culture, even found in the business and professional fields today. The moral culture has so declined that there's a major concern in the professional world, the business world, the corporate world, as to how it's affecting their business and their corporate structure and the leadership role of their management and their management teams on a national level. May I remind us, it's time we as Christians recognize that we must take a stand. In fact, as Christians, we must stand firm on our Christian faith and not apologize for our biblical worldview and our view of life and of how the world is viewed based on the Scripture. We must not apologize. We must take a stand. There's some people that get a little upset and perhaps uptight with what I'm saying because you've not heard it before. And shame on any church, any pastor that will not warn our people about what the Scripture says and just mamsy-pamsy over the truth of the Word of God and not exegete the text and apply it and from the pulpit warn our people of what is happening with the plummeting morals and the values in our nation today. Entire denominations are bowing to political correctness and social correctness. Some churches say sodomites can be a Christian and serve the Lord Jesus. Listen. There was, on one occasion, we had a local political leader that chided me via a news article in the newspaper with a letter to the editor because I'd said something in 2012 about the 296 bill, which was the homosexual expansion bill that they attempted then. And God helped us, and we defeated the bill in 2012. They wanted to resurrect that again, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, the little cursory information on it. But a former mayor said that Dr. Youngblood, pretty soon we'll get rid of some of the no votes in city council. We're going to pass that ordinance whether you like it or not. May I remind us, there's a real problem when we have political leadership that sinks to the demoralization and the level of the destruction of the morals, the ethics, and the values of our community, of our city, and of our people and the citizens. But here, the churches are saying, that you can be Christian and homosexual. That particular leader that I just spoke of in Duval County, no longer serving in that leadership role, but he used the term in the newspaper letter to the editor that the woman was caught in adultery and Jesus forgave her of her sins. And therefore, as religious leaders, speaking of me and others that had taken a stand in 2012 about the sodomite bill, said that we need to also forgive. And my response back by way of the letter to the editor was, yes, but when Jesus caught the woman in the act of adultery and she was brought to him and Jesus forgave her, he said, go and sin no more. What does that say? Does that say that you can be a sodomite today, walk down the aisle in some church, join the church and become active leadership in the church and still have your immoral, ungodly, unholy, lost lifestyle to be perpetrated on members of the local New Testament church? God help us. No, that's an impossibility. That's like saying, well, you know, my pet sin is murder. I just murder one person a week, but I go to church on Sunday. Can I be a murderer and still love Jesus? No. You can't live a lifestyle of a murderer or a homosexual or any other sin and it be on a continuing basis, and that's your lifestyle. You can't do it and say that you're saved. My Bible says when a person gets saved, old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Not some things, but all things. Some churches are accepting homosexual members. Some churches are performing homosexual marriages. Many churches and Christians are accepting those that are alcoholics and say that that's all right, that's just his sin. Many churches across denominational lines say that there's no problem with alcoholic beverages. I could go on and on and on with what's happening, and the point that I'm making is the decline of moral values in our Christian communities and our churches today. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can call us at 401-1413 if you'd like to jump in this discussion. You'd like to ask a question. You'd like to put in what I call your 2 cents worth. That's wonderful. You can disagree with me vehemently, and that's your prerogative and privilege. We're not going to be disagreeable, but I'd love to have you call and participate in this dialogue and facing the issues today about the moral decline and the decline of values and morals and ethics and values in our community and across the nation today. On a local level, we're destroying our school-age children. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but Dr. Vitti is the appointed, contracted superintendent of schools in our county. Dr. Vitti, time Barack Hussein Obama handed down the edict, then all of a sudden he notified the school board unilaterally that he was going to implement that immoral, ungodly proposition of having our locker rooms, our shower rooms, our bathrooms open where we send our sons and daughters and grandkids to school. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, a schoolhouse should be a place where the academics training is taking place. Schoolhouse, a school location ought not to be an incubator for social change in our students. A school ought not to be a place where you can have infidel professors and teachers teaching to destroy the values and the ethics and the morals of our kids when we put them in a classroom. We send them off in that little yellow school bus, as I call it, so that they can get academics. Used to be called the 3 R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic. You understand? May I remind us, that's what school is about. And I'm telling you, we ought to fire Dr. Vitti. If Dr. Vitti is willing to unilaterally pass down an edict himself and the school board members that are elected and responsible to the citizens in Duval County, and it doesn't make any difference. I don't care who you are. If you're a school board member and you're listening, then shame on you if you allow Dr. Vitti to continue to destroy the morals, ethics, and the values of our daughters, our little girls and sons and so forth that are going to school and they are open where some pervert, pedophile, transsexual, or sodomite can walk in and view them, photograph them, videotape them. Target stores are plummeting in sales because since April we've had a boycott where we say to Christians, don't spend one dime of God's money at Target. And their bottom line has plummeted as a result of it. Now they're struggling and saying, we're going to spend $20 million state nationwide adding private bathrooms to all of our stores. They're trying to regain the customer base they once had. I pray to God they don't. because of the position that they've taken, spitting in the face of God, spitting in the face of God's word, spitting in the face of Christians, and saying that we can just treat you any old way that we want to, and we can put you in danger if you go into the ladies' dressing room or the girls' dressing room. And they've already had 28 cases across America with Target because they've done so. And yet we're sitting back in silence in Duval County. We're sitting back allowing our daughters to be exposed to the perverts and the pedophiles and those that happen to have a sexual identity crisis in their brain. By the way, there's no scientist ever found a DNA that says that you're homosexual. No such thing as the DNA homosexual. There's no such thing as a girl trapped in a boy's body or a boy trapped in a girl's body or vice versa, man or woman. Doesn't happen. It's where there's the perverted mind because of being exposed to it. And you see, there's no such thing as reproduction in the homosexual community. It is recruitment. And that's what all these things are designed to do, is recruitment. And now we have City Councilman Tommy Azuri planning on reintroducing his ungodly, unholy expansion of the HRO. An HRO is simply human rights ordinance. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, human rights ordinance, what is that? It is designed to give sodomites and transsexuals and perverts and pedophiles special rights. I dare anybody in Duval County to give me any empirical evidence to show that any human being in our city has been openly discriminated against in any of the categories of restaurants or in housing or in motels or hotels in the accommodations that's offered. And yet that is their screaming cry. And yet Jacksonville in 2012, when this was attempted to be passed then, it was flourishing then. It's flourishing today. Companies are moving to our city, and they're not saying we're not coming to your city because we can't have open bathrooms. And yet that's the attempt that Tommy Azuri. And by the way, in the latest news article on that, says council member working to tighten up and clarify the new HRO bill. Councilman Tommy Azuri is already working on drumming up support to reintroduce and put on the shelf or the counter, if you will, in the city council, the human rights ordinance to protect the LGBT community in Jacksonville. And it goes on to talk about, he said, I think we need to tighten up and make sure that the public knows that churches and church schools are exempt, that small businesses under 15 are exempt, said Azuri. Listen very carefully, and we will wrap up today's broadcast with putting these, tying these loose ends together. Tommy Azuri is saying that what they want to do in this reintroduction of this ungodly, unholy, sodomite special bill, special attention bill, is that they're wanting to say, well, the churches and the schools are will be exempt. Listen, what is a church? It's not the building. It's not the address of the building. It's not the address where the worship takes place. It's each individual Christian. We, as a child of God, you and I, if we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we make up the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. And so, therefore, when we're outside of the building in worship, we are the church. And therefore, there's nothing in this new tightened up legislation that Tommy Azuri is wanting to pass that will exempt a Christian person that's running a bakery, running a machine shop, or whatever it may be, where he can be sued as a result of saying no to wanting some sodomite wanting to put him on the horns of a dilemma so that he can sue him and close the business. It does nothing to protect the Christian. And so therein lies the problem. Therein lies the debate that I have with this issue. So I ask you, I prayerfully beg you, call city council, call the mayor, call every council member and say no, no, no to any expansion of the HRO in Duval County. And ladies and gentlemen, tune in tomorrow because I'm going to go into great depth as to who's behind this, what's taking place, and who paid them to do what. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep on being salt and light, and we'll see you tomorrow. Meet you tomorrow on the air at the same time. And God bless you for listening today.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.